We're turning in our Bibles, please, this morning to Genesis chapter 32. Don't worry, we're not skipping right through Genesis, a one-off wee message this morning. Genesis chapter 32, Brian read a line that Jacob said at the very outset of our meeting, and we're going to focus on a story about Jacob this morning. Genesis chapter 32, please, in the verse 24. Genesis 32 and the verse 24, please. And we'll read from verse 24 through to the end of the chapter here. Genesis 32 and the verse 24. And we read here, and it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go except thou bless me.' He said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts this morning. I would like to speak to you under the title, "He Blessed Him There." We find that little phrase in verse 25. "And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there." He blessed him there. How are we to know the Lord's blessing in our individual lives? How are we to know the Lord's blessing corporately as a local church assembly here at Grange Baptist? This morning we're going to deal with a particular incident in a very interesting life of a character in the Bible. And I'm so aware that after a weekend like the one that we are having, that the devil will be very busy attacking individuals and also our church fellowship. It's often after great spiritual highs that we will experience spiritual lows. And as we go to war against sin, the character of Jacob is surely one in whom each of us can identify with in our lives in that battle against sin. You know, when we think of Jacob, we often think of him as a deceiver. But when you sit down and consider the whole life of Jacob, and you read his story from start to finish, you'll discover that he was righteous. He tried to do what was right. And often he had the right motives, but there are other times that he was mean, that he was twisted, and he was utterly deceptive. You may know of Longfellow's poem, "There Was a Little Girl." I don't know the whole poem, but I've often heard this line quoted: "When she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was horrid." That's a little bit like Jacob. Jacob is a character from whom we can learn so many hard lessons as the children of God. Why do I say that? Well, because he was just like us. Jacob was a man of God. He was saved, to use the New Testament church word. But he had so much of the old man in him, he had so much of the old ways in him, that God needed to deal with Jacob. Dear brothers and sisters, today, could we not say the same of ourselves? Is there not a little bit, or maybe even if we're being real with ourselves, is there not a lot of Jacob in us this morning? Spurgeon
once said this. He said, if any man thinks ill of you, don't be angry with him, for you're likely worse than he thinks you to be. You see, at times we do allow the sinful nature to reign and rule. We can easily quench the Spirit of God. We can easily mar our fellowship with God. And sadly, it has to be said at times, it's difficult to see huge differences between the church and the world in what we watch and what we read and what we say. The list could go on. And God wants to deal with that old carnal, that stubborn, that self-sufficient, that self-confident spirit that so often marked Jacob and quite often marks us in our lives. I want you to note a number of things from our reading this morning. I think they're quite simple. The first of them is this. This was a place of trial. It was a place of trial. Look at verse 24. It says here, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It was a place of trial. God brought Jacob to the point that he couldn't turn to anyone else apart from God. And it could be that the Lord allows a time of difficulty to come into your life, and it could be to get your attention, maybe to strengthen your faith for greater trials that are ahead. You see, believers who are greatly used of God must come to the point where they realize that absolutely nothing of themselves will benefit the work of God. Jacob came to an end of himself. Is that not what the hymn writer means when they wrote, may the love of Jesus fill me, as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. What does that word self-abasing mean? It means to belittle oneself. It means to realize I am nothing and the Lord is everything. Self-abasing, does the Lord say, well done, good and faithful pastor? Or does he say, well done, good and faithful elder? No. Or, well done, good and faithful deacon, and we could go on. No, no, when we get to heaven, the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Self-abasing. God had to take Jacob through a fiery trial to get him to this point where he came to the end of himself. Do you remember that just before this all happened, there'd been trouble with Laban, his father-in-law, and he'd just escaped out of Laban's clutches, only to discover that Esau, his brother, may have been seeking revenge from the past. And he was terrified, and he fled from a lion, and now a bear was coming to meet him, and he feared that his wives and his children would be utterly destroyed by his revengeful brother. It was a fearful trial. He was in the point of the trial. And the fear would have left scars in his heart. Yet in his trial, when everything is, as far as his life was concerned, going wrong for him, in the place of trial, verse 29 tells us, he, the Lord, blessed Jacob there, in the place of trial. You know, quite often for the people of God, the severest trials at times are accompanied with the finest mercies. This is so often the case. I'm sure most of you here are familiar with the story of Corrie Ten Boom. In her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom tells of a time when she discovered that God was working even in the most horrific circumstances. Corrie and her sister Betsy had been imprisoned by the Nazis for hiding Jews behind the wall in their home in Holland. And they were brought into this Nazi prison, and the conditions were unbearable. And Corrie wrote during their time at the prison camp, each day she wrote, it grew harder and harder. Even within these four walls, there was too much misery. There was too much seemingly pointless suffering. Every day, something else failed to make sense. Something else grew too heavy. Living conditions were right. There were fleas in the prison, and yet it was the fleas that kept the prison guards away from the prison block, which allowed the women to hold a wee Bible study and to comfort each other in God's word each day. And the fleas, which were at first a curse to her, became a blessing.
because it allowed them to just meet around God's word and meet in his presence each day.
I wonder, you here this morning and you're in the midst of a trial at this very moment. You stepped into this meeting this morning and you're crippled with hopelessness. It took everything. Everything this morning to step out the door and come in here. Maybe you're here and you can't see a way through your trial. Worried about a family member or a close friend who is ill. Worried about your own circumstances. Your own life is in a dreadful place. And you just feel hopeless this morning. Things are difficult at work. Maybe a situation is bothering you in work or in some part of your life. Maybe, young person, there's difficulties in school. Let me tell you, the Lord's with you in your trial. Jacob was in a terrible trial, and it's written for us in Scripture here, it was in his trial that the Lord blessed him. Oh, that each of us would have faith to believe that for the present trial, for the trial that you're perhaps even going to enter in a future day, that it could be written after those trials, and you can look back at those trials and say, you know, the Lord blessed me there. You know, he will bless you there. When he's trying you in the waters, in the furnace, when you're being refined again and again, and the hot coals seem to be heaped upon you, he will bless you there. The disciples feared, we're told, as they entered into the cloud. But it was there that they saw the Savior transfigured. And often we fear the cloud into what we must enter. And really sometimes it's passing through that cloud that we enter into the secret place of the Most High. We're under the shadow of the Almighty. We'll have great and delightful visions of the Lord and we'll be brought nearer to him in the quiet place and in the trial. How often it is that we can be blessed in the place of trial. Let us not therefore dread such to go in such places again. As we travel towards heaven, because it's in the trial that the Lord teaches us. It's in the trial that the Lord blesses us. It's in the trial where he will strengthen our faith in him. You know, Jacob was a man who had many encounters and experiences with God. And Lloyd-Jones describes this passage as the great turning point in Jacob's life. You'll remember, I'm sure, that he had an experience at Bethel when he was running from his brother Esau. And on this occasion certainly had an effect upon him, but at Bethel it didn't change him. After that experience at Bethel, he continued as the same man. But in our passage this morning, in his experience here at Brook Jabbok, in this trial here that he comes to, he becomes a new man. You see, these are two very special places in Scripture that belong to Jacob. One was Bethel, one was Brook Jabbok. In Bethel, he saw a ladder. In Jabbok, he saw the Lord. In Bethel, he became a believing man. In Jabbok, he became a broken man. In Bethel, he died to sin. In Jabbok, he died to himself. He came away from Bethel with a new spring in his step. He came away from Jabbok with a lasting limp in his walk. God taught Jacob in the trial one of the most valuable lessons that you and I could ever learn in our relationship with the Lord. Here's the lesson. Are you listening? If we are to experience the heights and blessings of God Almighty, we must bow very low. If we want God's victory, we must admit that our own fleshly efforts will only end in defeat. I want to tell you something in the Lord's work. You and I are utterly useless and powerless unless the Lord's hand is upon him. He blessed him there. How are we to know God's blessing? Well, we must come to an end of ourselves. Self-abasing. This is victory. It was a place of trial, but I want you to also note that it was a personal place. It was a personal place. Now this is vital. I want you to look at verse 24 again with me. Read what it says. And Jacob was left alone. You see what happens earlier in this chapter, very briefly. Jacob, knowing his brother was coming, he divides his company in two. He was a schemer, he was a planner, and he gets everything, all the order of things, all wrong. You see, what he does is he does everything by himself, and then he prays. In verse 7 it says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herd and the camels, into two bands." And the idea was that Esau came and met one part of his family and smote them, the other part of his family could escape. But when all the planning was done, he then turns to the Lord in verse 9, when all the schemes have been thought up, and he then turns to the Lord and prays. It was his last resort prayer. I wonder this morning, is calling out to the Lord a last resort for you? Do you scheme and plan like Jacob and then pray? You see, when you're facing a crisis at home, when you're facing a crisis in the workplace, when you're facing an individual crisis, I wonder, is prayer the last resort or is it your first thought? Can you see Jacob? He's planning, and then he tries praying, and Then he tries paying. He sends gifts ahead to Esau, like a peace offering. After prayer, he reverts back to his old conniving, scheming, and bribing ways. He took his burden to the Lord, but instead of leaving his burden with the Lord, he just took it back and went off with it again. Jacob knows he can't be right with God until he's right with his brother, but he's going to learn here that he can't be right with his brother until he gets right with God, and he's a burdened man. And I want you to see here, Jacob, he's left alone. And it's when he was left alone that God dealt with him. You know, being alone with God is one of the most neglected things in the life of the Christian today. You know as well as I do that in the world that we live in, the way that life is in 2024, it doesn't lend to quiet moments. The phone is always ringing. There's always notifications, a message on it, a phone call to attend to. The family demands are great. A pile of work that's so heavy. And so our excuses roll on. The focus in life today is to be kept busy. No thinking time. No quiet time. Think about it. You get up. Maybe you watch the news as you have your breakfast. Maybe you have a check in social media. Then you head off to work or school. And that's the day done. And you come back in. And the dinner's being made. And the TV is blaring. And then maybe you go out and do something in the evening. And time alone isn't factored in with the Lord. But it's when Jacob was finished with his busyness that this great event happened. And Jacob was left alone. And many of us are terrified at being left alone. That's completely understandable because we fear loneliness. But listen, we're not talking about loneliness here. You cannot have loneliness when you're alone with God. Because you're alone with someone. I wonder when was the last time that you were alone with God. That you allowed God into all areas of your life. You let him penetrate and mold you. Now, I want you to notice something. It doesn't say in this passage that Jacob wrestled with the man. It says that the man wrestled with Jacob. Here he is. The prophet Hosea tells us that this man was the angel of the Lord. It was Christ himself in his pre-incarnate state. And when the Lord had finished wrestling with Jacob, he says in verse 30, "I have seen God face to face." The Lord was wrestling with Jacob. Now listen, the emphasis is not on Jacob wrestling with Christ. You need to get this. It was God who was wrestling with Jacob. Jacob wasn't trying to get something from the Lord. The Lord was trying to get something from Jacob. God wanted to break Jacob, to put an end to his confidence in the flesh, to deal with the old scheming, shrewd Jacob, and bring him to the place where he would say, "Yet not I, but through Christ in me." Yet Jacob fought the whole night long with God. Let me ask you this morning, are you withholding something from God? Maybe God has placed something in your heart and your mind. Maybe some ministry that you can do. Maybe something that the Lord's been wrestling with you with for a long time, and yet you've pushed it off and you've wrestled with the Lord all night long and you've pushed it down the line and the Lord's wrestled with you. Maybe it's some sin in your life that's marring your fellowship, and the Lord by His Spirit has been convicting you of that sin because you're marring your fellowship, and He's wrestled with you and He's wrestled with you, but you haven't given in. You see, each of us must be careful that we're not defending some area and refusing to yield our whole beings to the Lord. Are you doing what Jacob did? Dear Christian, are you fighting with God about the changes that God wants to make in your life? Are you wrestling against God in His effort to fill your life with blessing? The Lord wants you and I to come to the place where we can honestly say, it's not I, but it's Christ, and I want to give everything to You. What will it take for Your will to bend? What will it take for Your ways to mend? The answer comes with the breaking of the day. God brought Jacob to the place where he was alone, that He might bring him to the place of desperation. Look at verse 25. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. You see, it was a place of trial, it was a personal place, but it was a place of conscious weakness. Can you see what happened to Jacob? The angel of the Lord touches the hollow of his thigh, and he's never the same again. The Lord had conquered him. And this is an invaluable place for everyone to come to, where God conquers us. There's something to be said when we acknowledge the greatness of God having been defeated, and we must know we serve a God who is greater than us, and we cannot conquer much of anything until He conquers us. Jacob, now acknowledging God as his only hope, and in his great need, says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. This wasn't Jacob dictating terms to God, as he did in previous occasions. God has overcome Jacob here. We know from Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 to 5, that Jacob sought this blessing with weeping. He was crying. He knew he was defeated, yet desperately wanted the blessing of the Lord to be upon him, the one who is greater than all. Listen to what we read in Hosea 12. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is, the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. And now here is Jacob, and the Lord has touched him. He's a marked man. His thigh is out of joint. Wonder, can you imagine him that next morning, at the break of the day, the sun's rising, and here comes this man, and he's limping on the horizon. And his limp is distinct. His limp shows that he's a marked man. It shows that he's a man that's been touched by God. It tells us that he was limping. Verse 31, it tells us he halted upon his thigh. That just means he was limping. You know, we don't have enough marked men and women these days. You know the sort. You spend time with them, when you listen to them, when you step into a room, you just know that the Lord has set them apart. They're different. You know that their strength is found only in the Lord. Marked men and women. And here's Jacob, he's a marked man, and finally he had acknowledged his weakness, and finally he knew his weakness, and humbly he called on the Lord for a blessing. I wonder, do you need to do that this morning? For to know the blessings of the Lord in our lives, how we must be marked men and women. It's a place of trial. It's a personal place. It was a place of conscious weakness. It was a place of communion. Do you recognize it? I want you to see that Jacob was given a new name. His name was changed to Israel. It was changed. It was a new start for him. And Jacob changed the name of the place. Jacob called it Peniel, which is the face of God. Because there he had met with God face to face.
to see God. Blessed indeed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And to come into such a union with Christ that we're able to say that we can almost reach out and touch God. I wonder if you've ever been in the quiet place and you've just known the almighty presence of God with you. To be drawn closer to Him. This experience that Jacob had to speak with God, pouring out our hearts before Him, to hear Him speaking to us, to read His Word each day, to hear the words from His divine mouth which are right here in the pages of Scripture. Do you know what that blessing means? Brothers and sisters, we miss 1,000 blessings when we're too busy to pick this book up and commune with God each day. We miss 1,000 blessings. We're here, there, and everywhere except where we ought to be. We're running to this and that instead of sitting at the Master's feet. Do you remember He blessed Mary? Remember Martha was running about and she was busy. But Mary came and sat at the Master's feet. She just sat there. It's there too where He blesses us. There was a new name. His name was Israel. There was a new place. Peniel. It was a new day. The sun was rising. I wonder, dear Christian, do you need a new day in your life? Wonder in the trial, has God been wrestling you for a long time? Yield to the Lord. Say to the Lord, this is exactly what I am. But Lord, you can change me, you can transform me, you can make me what you want me to be. I yield everything to you, Lord. All these things that I've been holding back, I give them to you. I've been a wee bit like Jacob. I've been a manipulator. I haven't lived as I ought to. I've been a cheat. I've been a con artist. I've been hardening parts of my heart, Lord, but I want to be a channel of blessing for you, and I'm opening up my life to you. Do you know what Jacob had learned? He had learned to lean upon the Lord. What have I to dread? What have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. But let's ask, what happened with Esau? I mean, do you remember before this we said that Jacob was in fear and he divided his company, then he prayed, then he was sending the gifts off to Esau, to a peace offering almost. Do you know what it tells us in the next chapter happened? It says this, and Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. You see, when Jacob took care with his relationship with God, God took care of his relationship with Esau. Proverbs 16 verse 7, for when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. It was a place of trial. He blessed him there. Where Jacob came to an end of himself. Who are you relying on in the trials of life? It was a personal place. He blessed him there. It was when God got Jacob alone that he spoke. Are you spending personal time with God? It was a place of conscious weakness. He blessed him there. Jacob realized only with God in control of all areas of his life that he would know God's full blessing. Is God in control of all areas of your life, or do you need to yield something to Him today? It was a place of communion. He blessed him there. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. Well, do you? Do I? Oh, that in all circumstances this hymn would be our testimony in the trials of life, and that we would be able to look back in those trials, be able to say with Jacob as we look back, the Lord blessed me there. We're going to sing together a hymn in closing. We've just quoted it, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live." And the wee chorus is, "I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all." Oh, that we would sing this, meaning it with our hearts. That we wouldn't just give the Lord lip service this morning. Easy to do that. You know the tune, you know the hymn. But oh, that you would make this your prayer, that you would say to the Lord, "I surrender everything to you." He gave his life for you. He gave his everything for you. I think the very least you and I could do is give our all for him.